With your Superhuman News Update, I'm Elliot Turton. Keeping filler ingredients out of your cup of coffee. Coffee drinkers, beware. Surprise ingredients that are neither sweet nor flavorful may be hiding in your coffee. And growing coffee shortages may increase the chance of having these fillers in your cup of joe in the future. These extra ingredients make coffee go farther and increase profits for producers, according to researchers from the 248th National Meeting and Exposition of the American Chemical Society. Common filler ingredients include corn, barley, wheat, soybeans, rice, beans, acai seed, brown sugar or starch syrup, and counterfeit coffees is becoming more important in light of growing shortages in regions such as Brazil, where droughts and plant diseases have dramatically cut back coffee supplies. The good news is that a highly accurate test is in the works to quickly find coffee containing unwanted filler before the beverage reaches stores and restaurants. Researchers at the State University of Londrina in Brazil have developed a way to nip coffee counterfeiting in the bud with 95% accuracy. Pregnant women and fetuses exposed to antibacterial compounds face potential health risk. As the Food and Drug Administration mulls over whether to rein in the use of common antibacterial compounds that are causing growing concern among environmental health experts, scientists reporting at the 248th National Meeting and Exposition of the American Chemical Society are concerned that many pregnant women and their fetuses are being exposed to these substances. The problem with this is that there is a growing body of evidence showing that the compounds can lead to developmental and reproductive problems in animals and potentially in humans. Also, some research suggests that the additives could contribute to antibiotic resistance, a growing public health problem. Although the human body is efficient at flushing out triclosan and triclocarbon, a person's exposure to them can potentially be constant. The rest of your Superhuman News is coming up in 1 minute on the Superhuman Radio Network.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
Only one testosterone booster, Mahler's Aggressive Strength, raises testicular cholesterol levels while increasing gonadotropin, releasing hormone. That in turn turbocharges how much testosterone you can make in a clinical trial. This resulted in a 347% increase in testosterone, and it won't bottom out your estrogen levels either, so your libido will be in high gear. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Aggressive Strength banner ad. Use coupon code SHR and get 10% off today.
With the rest of your Superhuman News, I'm Elliot Turton. New global research reveals significant shortfall in fruit and vegetable consumption. New research published in the September issue of the British Journal of Nutrition highlights a significant shortfall in fruit and vegetable consumption in people's diets around the world. Commissioned by the Nutrilite Health Institute of Amway and conducted by Exponent, the research finds the majority of adults worldwide would have to at least double their current consumption of fruits and vegetables to meet the World Health Organization's minimum recommendation of 5 servings per day. Additionally, the vast majority of adults worldwide, 60 to 87% across 13 geographic diet regions, are falling short of these recommendations and missing out on crucial nutrition and health benefits. The gap between the recommended amounts of fruits and vegetables and what adults are actually eating also indicate that most adults worldwide are not receiving the quantity or variety of phytonutrients, organic compounds found in fruits and vegetables, potentially needed to support their health and wellness. Gut microbes browse along the gene buffet. In the moist, dark microbial rainforest of the intestine, hundreds of species of microorganisms interact with each other and with the cells of the host animal to get the resources they need to survive and thrive. Though there's a lot of competition in this vibrant ecosystem, a new study on the crosstalk between microbes and cells lining the gut of mice show how cooperative this environment can be. One of the main ways that the hosts manage these interactions with microbes is by carefully controlling the genes that their cells use. Duke University researchers, reporting in the journal Genome Research, found that the host genes in the intestine are poised to respond to microbes, and the microbes signal to the host determine which genes respond. In other words, access to the genes is determined by the host, but usage of particular genes is regulated by the microbes. This has been your Superhuman News Update. I'm Elliot Turton for the Superhuman Radio Network.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
Superhumans using Percova Extra Edge Colostrum Powder are experiencing dramatic improvements in strength, performance, recovery, and endurance. Benefits that cannot be duplicated by any other supplement. Percova Extra Edge Colostrum Powder will take your game to another level. If you already know how great Percova Extra Edge Colostrum is, you could purchase 4 jars of Extra Edge Colostrum Powder for $200. Use coupon code SHR2. See the Percova banner ad on superhumanradio.com today.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled.
From the studio gym where excuses never apply,
it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. It's Monday. We're starting the week off with a very, very strong show, no pun intended. During the first hour, we're going to be talking with Tim Henriquez about his new book, All About Powerlifting. And then later in the show, we're going to be joined all the way from Oxford University by Dr. David O. Kennedy to talk about his new book, Plants and the Human Brain. Really, really good stuff. So let's get started right away. Tim Henriquez, how are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. Thanks a lot for having me on the show.
This is really a very impressive book, by the way. You know, there's a lot of people who put these little books out for the sake of putting a book out. And you know what I'm talking about, right? It's like they look like they're getting paid by the word, but there's really not a lot of substance to it. But this really is an encyclopedia of powerlifting, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what one of the goals of creating it was. I always liked Arnold's Encyclopedia of Bodybuilding when I was growing up. And then Mark Ripito's Starting Strength. I thought those were two really solid books. So I was trying to kind of take the best of both worlds, but make it more applicable to powerlifting and basically give myself a book I would have loved to read 20 years ago when I was kind of first getting into the game.
But I don't want to pigeonhole this. I think that everybody can benefit from, when I first looked at this book, the first thing I thought of is there are a lot of physicians out there who work with older clients. And one of the biggest problems with older clients or patients, I should say, is that due to the lack of muscular strength, they lose their ability to be independent, and maintaining strength and muscle mass have been shown in numerous studies now to produce a longevity effect and a healthy aging effect. And so, while we're talking about powerlifting, for those of you who are like, "Well, I'm really not interested in powerlifting," don't tune out. Because getting strong is a critical factor in the longevity prescription. And nobody knows more about strength than powerlifters. So let's just leave it with that. Now, I'm going to ask you to explain something to me.
Sure.
You think that powerlifting is the greatest sport there is. But it's an obscure sport. How can you say that?
Yeah, no, I certainly would admit that it's not necessarily, you know, the most popular sport, obviously. It doesn't, you know, draw the biggest fans, and the athletes, unfortunately, don't get the biggest paycheck. But the reason I believe powerlifting is the greatest sport there is because athletes spend 90 or 95% of their time training. And to me, there's no more fun activity than going to the gym and lifting and hanging out with friends. And so if you're going to be an athlete and you're going to have to spend all this time, you know, I've talked to football players and lacrosse players, and they're like, "Dude, I hate the practice, but I just do it because I love the games." But the games can be few and far and in between. And just think about what other activities people do you know, for fun. When was the last time, once you're over 25, you know, you went and played tackle football? It just doesn't happen. But people go to the gym, you know, all the time, whether they're going to lift weights or cardio or stretch or whatever. So my argument is it's the greatest sport to train for, and therefore it's the best sport there is.
Now, how would you describe powerlifting? If you got on an elevator with a neophyte and you said, well, you know, I train powerlifters, and they said, well, what's powerlifting? What would you say to them?
I would just say it's the sport that's designed to best test someone's total body strength. And so there's three main exercises: the squat, which tests your legs; the bench press, which tests your upper body; deadlift tests your back and some other muscles, of course. And you get to max out in each one of those exercises. You put your score together in each one, and whoever lifts the most total weight is the winner.
Now, you know, and I've told this story before, so my audience will get tired of it. But I think powerlifting is pretty much misunderstood by a lot of athletes who kind of turn their nose up at it. And this was best experienced by me when a friend of mine, Mike Miller, got out of powerlifting and got into MMA fighting. Mm-hmm. And people saw his videos of him squatting, you know, 1,200 plus pounds and benching 800 pounds, all this stuff. And they were like, yeah, big deal. So he can move 4 inches with all that weight. You know, he's going to gas out. But the reality is that powerlifters tend to be, by and large, the majority of them, there are some of them that don't necessarily care about conditioning. They just care purely about strength. But by and large, powerlifters tend to be a very, very well-adapted athletic group, don't they?
They certainly can be. I mean, I think you kind of hit the nail on the head where there's obviously going to be some, you know, subcomponents, and people can probably visualize, you know, the 350 or the 400-pound powerlifter that, you know, eats nothing but McDonald's and is pretty, you know, pretty fat but is strong too. But that's not, you know, that's not certainly the majority of powerlifters. And so powerlifting, I actually use the term loosely. And Joe Weider said, if you lift weights to build your body, you're a bodybuilder. And I say, if you lift weights to make yourself stronger, you're a powerlifter. Doesn't necessarily mean you've stepped up on the competitive platform. That's kind of a, you know, another level. But yeah, I mean, athletes all across the globe are using the main barbell lifts to get bigger and stronger. And so powerlifters just happen to know the most about those lifts.
When did powerlifting really find... I think I know this from Randy Roach's book, Muscle, mm-hmm. Smoke, and Mirrors. But
right.
When do you see powerlifting actually becoming a faction of its own and becoming what it is today?
I mean, it's definitely been a transition. My second chapter in the book is on the history of powerlifting. And so, you know, in the late 1950s, early 1960s, it was kind of taking shape, and people would do some odd lifts and some different competitions, but then they really wanted to standardize it. And I would say basically from 1970s on, it's really been, you know, pretty much the classic, the big three lifts. You get three tries at each one. The order is the same. The weight classes have been tweaked a little, but they're, you know, pretty much the same. Probably the biggest difference is whether or not certain equipment, you know, can be used, like can you wrap your knees or something like that. But in terms of the actual lifts, I would say for the past 40 years, they've been pretty standard.
When did gear, what I mean by gear is shirts and bench shirts and all, when did that stuff step into the game?
I would say a heavy influence started in the 80s. And then it really kind of exploded in 90 and 2000. You know, people would use little things. They'd put on two or three tight T-shirts, or knee wraps have been around longer than that. But really that bench shirt, John Enzer invented that first bench shirt. I don't have the date right in front of me, but I want to say like 1981, something like that.
Was there a big pushback against that when that came out? Was it like, wait a minute, what, you know, what's next?
No, honestly, I wasn't competing at that time, so I can't give a first-hand approach. I started competing about a decade after that. But my sense is that, it's a relatively small sport. It doesn't have that much money, and so a lot of the equipment manufacturers are also the ones, you know, hosting meets or giving out the trophies. And in the beginning, it was really just an extra tight T-shirt. So, okay, yeah, it made me bench 5 more pounds. It might have helped with the pause a little bit. But the same people, the strongest people were always winning. And so people didn't care as much. Now the gear has changed so much that, you know, you might be able to outbench someone in the gym, but if they spend a lot of time in their shirt, they may outbench you. And so now there's definitely more of a raw movement and kind of a pushback against that.
Is there an Olympic lifting influence in powerlifting, or is it vice versa?
I mean, certainly the lift that has the most carryover is the squat. Olympic lifters are continually training their squat to improve the clean and jerk and the snatch. And, of course, for the powerlifters, the squat is one of our big three. The form may be a little different. Olympic lifters tend to use the high bar, the ass to the grass style, where they're going all the way down, which I think works well for athletes as well. Powerlifters tend to go a little more low bar, a little bit of a wider stance. But, you know, you can be very good at powerlifting and really pretty terrible, honestly, at Olympic lifting. If you're an Olympic lifter, you're going to be good at squats. You're going to be at least decent at deads. You might have a pretty poor bench because they tend to actually avoid that because it tends to make them tight and they lose flexibility from it.
Interesting. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to pick it up on the other side. We're talking right now with Tim Henriquez. We're talking about his new book, All About Powerlifting. This is really an amazing book. If you want to buy just one book about powerlifting, this is it. You can get it at superhumanradio.com. Stay tuned.
Previously on Superhuman Radio.
Monsanto is kind of like the head of the serpent.
The battle cry against Monsanto is being broadcast.
But I've said that separating government from that industry is like trying to separate Siamese twins or conjoined twins who share a heart. You have to make a decision which is going to live and which is going to die. There's no easy way to separate.
You're listening to Superhuman Radio with Carl Lenore, weekdays at noon.
The health and performance benefits of phytonutrients are indisputable, but getting all of your phytonutrients from your diet is difficult. That's why Prime Nutrition introduced PhytoForm. PhytoForm has nearly 11 grams of all the micronized veggies, fruits, fiber, minerals, and antioxidants you need. Alfalfa, organic spirulina, and chlorella, plus acai, pomegranate, goji, bilberry, blueberry, raspberry, cranberry, and papaya. Cabbage, spinach, broccoli, beet, the list goes on and on. You won't find a better, more complete fruits and greens blend anywhere. It even includes PQQ, which has been shown to improve mitochondrial biogenesis. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Prime Nutrition banner ad today and use coupon code SHR to save 30% off. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
When you talk about recovery, one product has emerged as the established category killer, MassPro Synthogen, formulated by SHR's own BPPH answer man, Rob Regish. Synthogen works from the very first dose to help you bounce back fast. It fuels, it feeds, and flat out outperforms anything else on the market. Discover the power yourself by clicking the Synthogen link in the Carl Recommends tab on superhumanradio.com. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
Your physique is carved from sweat, reps, and discipline. It's time to show off your hard work with Quest Apparel. Clothes engineered to enhance the contours of your body. The makers of the number one selling Quest Bar created Quest Apparel with your body and philosophy in mind. Every shirt, pant, and dress has an inspirational custom tagline as a reminder to yourself and a subtle message to those around you that you carve your path to be the exception because you are made, not born. Go to questapparel.com. Enter code SUPERHUMAN to receive 20% off your purchase today.
In a world of advanced bodybuilding supplementation, the numbers don't lie. Fact, Iron Mag Labs is among the fastest growing hardcore supplement companies in the world. Fact, when it comes to no-nonsense, cutting-edge products, nobody delivers results like Iron Mag Labs. Fact, the Iron Mag Labs line of innovative formulation has set a new industry standard with products that are helping world-class bodybuilders reach levels they never thought possible. Iron Mag Labs is a proud supporter of bodybuilders everywhere. Discover the most hardcore bodybuilding supplements on the market. Visit IronMagLabs.com today. Performance counts, especially in the bedroom. AgeForce introduces the Ready Now Sexual Performance Patch. Feel 8 hours of increased performance within minutes of putting on the Ready Now Patch. Go to SuperHumanRadio.com and click the Ready Now banner ad and save 50% off your first order. Get ready for the ultimate lean mass building pro hormone. Fusion Supplements introduces Trenadrol. You'll see dramatic improvements in strength, huge increases in lean muscle mass, a reduction in body fat levels, and zero conversion to estrogen. Shatter those PBs. Trenadrol is the perfect choice on a cut or body recomp as well as bulking. Snag a bottle of Trenadrol at superhumanradio.com. Click the banner ad in the Carl Recommends section and use coupon code TRENADROL 3-0 and get 30% off. The benefits of a ketogenic diet are immeasurable. Health, resist disease, mental function, and even performance. But getting into ketosis can take weeks, if even at at all. Now you can get into ketosis in 10 minutes. Keto Force is the first ketone salt that has been clinically shown to switch you into a ketogenic state by providing a rush of ketones into the bloodstream. Like to train fasted or want to spare more muscle glycogen during workouts? Take a shot of Keto Force and hit it hard. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Keto Force banner ad today.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. We're ripped and we're ready.
Welcome back. We're talking with Tim Henriquez. We're talking about his new book, All About Powerlifting. It is really an encyclopedia of powerlifting, an amazing book. What's your favorite lift, Tim?
That's a good question. Probably the deadlift. We tend to like the things that we're the best at, so the deadlift was one of the exercises that came a little more natural to me, and I performed a little bit better on. Squats and bench have always been a bit of a struggle. Some powerlifters also compete in the strict curl, and I'm reasonably proficient in that as well. So, but I would say deadlift is my favorite lift.
Really, the strict curl, huh?
Yeah, so that's where you're up against the wall, which eliminates a lot of cheating. It doesn't count towards your total, so it's considered a single lift. And that's something that I like about powerlifting too, is you don't have to do all three exercises all the time. You know, some people might maybe have bad knees, but they're awesome benchers. They can go and just compete against other people bench pressing. Some people just like to do deadlifts. So to be a full powerlifter and to show that you have the strongest total body, you need to do all three. But if you just want to be a specialist, that is an option.
You have a picture of Vadim Snitkovsky.
Snitkovsky, yeah, one of my buddies. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that he is completely butt to ankles in this squat, and there's a lot of weight on that bar. Why?
Yeah,
I mean, isn't it a better exhibition of strength if you can go all the way down like that and then back up, as opposed to just parallel and back up? Or is there a point where it's impossible to continue to progress humanly with the weight and still go all the way down like that?
I believe the squat you're referring to would be what's called the ass to the grass squat, where basically you just go down until your butt reaches your heels,
yeah,
and then you come back up. Some people call that, you know, a full Olympic lifting squat. And I certainly think that's impressive. You know, with powerlifting, the rules are set up to try to be fair to everybody. Some organizations use slightly different rules. You know, some people think powerlifters just have to go to parallel. Really, you need to break parallel. So that femur definitely distinctly needs to be below parallel. But then it gets tricky with really big lifters. They're just below parallel, and they're basically as low as their body can go. With the smaller lifters, female lifters, they can, you know, really get extra low just because there's not as much tissue. So I think powerlifting does a pretty good job of you know, making sure the rules are reasonably clear. You know, you got to have that hip below the knee. It is easier to stop a little bit short and then come back up. But as long as you're that full depth, I'm content with calling that a pretty full squat.
So do you discuss the different styles of training, like Louis Simmons has his West Side training, and, you know,
right,
do you discuss those in the book as well?
Yeah, the book is laid out so that each chapter, you know, kind of has, of course, its own theme. Some of the lifts are a specific chapter, so how do you bench, how do you squat? Then following that, there's a chapter on how to improve that. So what do I think the best way to improve your squat is, or the best way to improve your bench? And then there's a general training chapter, which is how do you kind of put all the pieces of the puzzle together. And I mention, you know, West Side, I think Wendler's 531 program is pretty solid. I've known a lot of lifters that have gotten good success with the cube method.
Yeah.
I don't go into, you know, unbelievable detail on those, because that's their system.
Right.
But it's not, I'm certainly not taking the approach it's my system, or, you know, or you're an idiot. There's a lot of good ways out there to get strong. And I have a lot of workout routines kind of embedded in the book that I've put online. So instead of just rehashing them, you can just, you know, type in the link, and, you know, there's a 7-page routine with videos and pictures and all that stuff that appears.
Does powerlifting translate to other sports easily, or is there a point of diminishing returns if you don't have to be the strongest guy in powerlifting to take advantage of the strength gains, say, in football or
right,
some other sport?
Yeah, I think it translates super well. I do think there is a point of diminishing returns, and that's actually another whole chapter in the book, is powerlifting for other athletes. And what I do is I break different sports down into the categories based on what I think their strength requirement is. So for like an offensive lineman, they really need a lot of strength, whereas a golfer needs minimal strength. And so I kind of give kind of guidelines for lifters to shoot for. You know, if you're a golfer, you don't need to squat 500 pounds, but if you can't squat 135, that's probably limiting your golf swing. An offensive lineman really needs to be able to pound the weights. And I do that for male and female sports. Yeah, but I believe that training in these lifts, basically it teaches your body how to move efficiently and should translate well over to almost any human activity.
Which of the lifts do you think is the greatest example of physical strength? I know what I think it is, but what do you think?
Actually, ironically, if I just had to pick one lift,
yeah,
that's the best example, I actually wouldn't choose a power lift. I would choose the old Olympic lift, the clean and press,
uh-huh,
where you brought it to your shoulders and then pushed it over your head if you just had one lift. But if we're talking power lifts, I would say the squat is generally, the squat has the best impact on the other ones. You can deadlift a lot and have a crappy squat, but if you have a really strong squat, your deadlift will at least be pretty good. The bench is cool, but obviously it's kind of limited to the upper body. So I personally would say the squat. I think that the deadlift probably most represents what we do in real life, you know, picking up couches and, you know, loading,
yeah,
laundry baskets and things like that. But if I just had to do one to get better at powerlifting, I would squat.
You know, I had Brooks Kubik on the show not too long ago, and we talked about powerlifting is a better choice also for the masters athlete,
mm-hmm,
because you're not pushing yourself into that zone of complete exhaustion, especially,
right,
if you're working in, you know, five and less reps, and you're keeping your intensity low. But that strength does translate, as you point out, you know, to a more functional lifestyle, the ability to lift things and move things and so on.
Totally, yeah. Powerlifting is very popular with master lifters. There's actually a master division, which is anybody over 40, and then every 5 years you're in kind of a new age group. And to me, it's super inspiring to go to a competition, and, you know, there'll be 70 and sometimes even 80-year-old lifters, and, you know, they're out there and they're, you know, squatting pretty impressive weights for anybody. And then when you factor in their age, you're just like, oh, my God, I hope I'm doing that, you know, 40 years from now. So yeah, it's super popular with older adults as well, as I think it should be.
We have a listener named Alex Wapretsky, who lives in Oregon, I believe. And if I got that wrong, Alex, I'm sorry. We communicate a lot. But he has a client named Judy Madsen.
And okay.
I want to say Judy is in her late 70s, if not in her 70s somewhere. And she just deadlifted 225 pounds, I believe, in a powerlifting competition. And she's a frail thing. And she loves it. She loves powerlifting.
Right.
You know, she feels, and she's been a swimmer her whole life. And she got in a car accident. I interviewed her. She got in a car accident, and she didn't sustain much damage. And the doctor couldn't believe it. And he said, you know, if it wasn't for your powerlifting, you probably would really be, like, on your way to a nursing home right now. And because she has so much muscle on her for her age, and because that muscle dictates bone mineral uptake, her bones are stronger than the average woman her age.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, lifting weights is definitely the best way to prevent osteopenia and fight osteoporosis. So, no, I think lifting, I mean, and you talked about how empowering it is. People love being independent. They love not needing help. You know, they love knowing they could move their couch if they have to, or they can carry in their groceries. And so, again, it's not just for, you know, competitive people that, you know, want to squat 1,000 pounds. Just going in and getting a little stronger makes huge dividends down the road.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? I feel bad that powerlifting isn't more popular, because I do think that it's an amazing sport. But unfortunately, I think, and we have to talk about this, that the drugs sometimes overshadow the sport. Now, not everybody is using drugs. There's a lot of career drug-free athletes. You're one of them. Coach Wade Johnson, who's been on the show with some regularity, is another one. I want to address that when we come out of the break, because I know that people are thinking about that sort of stuff in the back of their minds. We're talking right now with Tim Henriquez. We're talking about his new book, All About Powerlifting. You can get it at superhumanradio.com. Stay tuned.
Highlighting the hypocrisy in government, one meal at a time.
The USDA and the FDA going after small family farms. They're telling these farmers that by selling direct to end users like you and I, because they're outside the jurisdiction of the USDA and the FDA, the USDA says it's dangerous to be buying from these farmers. Really? And we're all thriving buying from these farmers, but the USDA and the FDA said, no, you're wrong. You may not think you're that because you're not getting sick that something's wrong, but we know there's something wrong.
Superhuman Radio with Carl Lenore.
1-2 punch for muscle growth is increased pump and increased intensity. Research shows metabolic changes occur that yield bigger, stronger muscles. Harness the power of agmatine plus carnosine beta-alanine to give your workout the intensity, pump, and metabolic changes that you'll not only feel but be able to see. Go to superhumanradio.com and use the coupon code SHR to get Prime Nutrition's Ultimate Stack and save 30% off. That's a savings of over $12. Get the most out of your next training session with Prime Nutrition's Nitric Oxide Plus Intensity Stack. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
Your physique is carved from sweat, reps, and discipline. It's time to show off your hard work with Quest Apparel. Clothes engineered to enhance the contours of your body. The makers of the number one selling Quest Bar created Quest Apparel with your body and philosophy in mind. Every shirt, pant, and dress has an inspirational custom tagline as a reminder to yourself and a subtle message to those around you that you carve your path to be the exception because you are made, not born. Go to questapparel.com, enter code SUPERHUMAN to receive 20% off your purchase today.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
Just because your water is clear doesn't mean it's pure. You can't see the most harmful things in your water. Tap, bottle, it's all the same. Plasticizer, chlorine, fluoride. Today's water is horrible. The clearly filtered water bottle will purify up to 100 gallons of tap, bottle, river, or stream water, and it removes chlorine, fluoride, other harmful chemicals, and bacteria while saving you a load of money. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the clearly filtered banner ad and save 5% plus free shipping inside the USA.
When you talk about recovery, one product has emerged as the established category killer, Mass Pro Synthogen, formulated by SHR's own BPPH answer man, Rob Regish. Synthogen works from the very first dose to help you bounce back fast. It fuels, it feeds, and flat out outperforms anything else on the market. Discover the power yourself by clicking the Synthogen link in the Carl Recommends tab on superhumanradio.com. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
Research on how colostrum improves athletic performance, muscle growth, health, and vitality is undeniable. But finding a reliable source of colostrum is difficult. Now the Superhuman Nation has Immunodynamics. For over 30 years, Immunodynamics has been regarded as both the standard and the source for consistently providing only first 6-hour colostrum, painstakingly processed by continually refined methods to provide the highest biological activity in the world. For a limited time, when you buy Percoba Extra Edge Colostrum Powder, you'll get a bottle of colostrum lozenges and a Fit and Fresh portable drink mixer free. Use coupon code SHR at checkout. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Immunodynamics banner ad today.
Whey Isolate is the fastest way to build muscle by flooding the bloodstream with bodybuilding amino acids. Now, Divine Nutrition gives you the best flavors in the world of the best whey isolate available. Divine Nutrition's Whey Isolate comes in pumpkin spice, vanilla peanut butter, or cinnamon bun. You can save 30% off a 2.5-pound jug by using the coupon code SHR. Go to superhumanradio.com and look for Divine Nutrition in Carl Recommends today.
This is the Superhuman Channel, doing reps with the weight of the world.
Welcome back. We're talking with Tim Enriquez. We're talking about his new book, All About Powerlifting. We can't talk about powerlifting without talking about the drugs, only because people expect it to be discussed. Because there's an attitude that the industry, the powerlifting industry, that is, or sport, is permeated with drugs. But there are a lot of drug-free athletes out there. Coach Wade Johnson is in his mid-40s now. I want to say he's getting closer to 46 or 47, and has been drug-free his entire career. I know you've been drug-free, correct, Tim?
Yes, that is correct. Yeah, I'm lifetime drug-free.
And so Is it unfair that the industry is kind of painted with this paintbrush, or is it just the nature of sports in general today?
I don't know if I'd call it unfair. I think it just kind of is what it is. I do personally, I think people can make a choice, and at an individual level, they can kind of choose, what they want to do. One thing I actually respect about powerlifting is that we tend to have, drug-tested divisions and competitions, and then non-tested. And, of course, the non-tested is, kind of condoning, the drug use. But at least there's more of an appropriate division. A lot of sports, people are basically just trying to cheat their way through the drug tests. But with powerlifting, at high levels, steroids do make a pretty big difference. And I just wish more people would kind of come out at the high level and say, look, I am lifetime drug free. Not that they're necessarily better than the other people, but just so the audience and the onlooker can realize, oh, wow, you can be pretty strong. You can have a high level without having to take drugs to do that stuff.
Well, and then the other thing that is tough is anytime anybody is strong or hypermuscular, it's immediately assumed that they are taking anabolic steroids. I have nothing against steroids, personally. I mean, I'm 56 years old. I've been on testosterone therapy since 2007. I could not train with the frequency and the volume and intensity that I do today if I wasn't on hormone replacement therapy. That's a little different than, 2 or 3 grams of test a week, but I have done that as well. I mean, when I was doing my heaviest lifting, I admitted on the show, I was doing 2 grams of test a week and I was really strong. I'm not doing that today and I'm still really strong.
Right.
So.
Yeah. I mean, it's out there for sure, but, just kind of is what it is.
But, the other thing that's important to acknowledge is that it's not just anabolic steroids. I mean, I kind of told you I wanted to talk about this off the air. When we were talking off the air, I wanted to talk about this because we just had the PGA come through here.
Right.
And Phil Mickelson is a spokesperson for a drug that is a biological drug used to treat psoriatic arthritis and rheumatoid arthritis. And the reality is that Phil Mickelson could not play golf today at the level he plays if it wasn't for that drug. So how is that drug not a performance-enhancing drug?
I think it is a performance-enhancing drug. I think it's a fine line. One, I want to kind of qualify these statements with saying I don't consider myself an expert on drug use, and I haven't really been associated with drug testing and all the formalities, but I'm happy to share my opinion. And basically, to me, the dividing line is, somebody like Phil Mickelson, and I don't know his 100% background, but he's basically, I would assume he's taking a drug to essentially return to normal, a little bit like you with your testosterone replacement therapy. So as it drops, you're trying to basically get back to the way that you were. And it is a slippery slope. A lot of people taking kind of the steroids that we associate with massive levels of performance are taking much above beyond normal levels, and therefore, they're doing it just with the explicit goal of gaining that performance. Certainly in the division that I lift in, you can, if you have a testosterone deficiency, as, validated by a doctor, you are allowed to take, it's called a therapeutic use exemption. So if you need a medicine just to kind of operate, at a normal level, it's pending approval, but you are allowed to have that. But obviously you still can't, fail the regular test, and if your testosterone levels are way too high, then that would be problematic.
That's very sensible. What league is that?
So there's a couple different powerlifting competitions, but the 100% Raw Powerlifting Federation, I lift a lot with them, and I know the president pretty well. He's actually interviewed in the book, but they do the TUE. I think other organizations can do that too. I would certainly contact the meet director and see if that's a viable option for the lifter.
Yeah, because that seems sensible. Now, see if the authorities having jurisdiction over these sports treated it that way. In general, right? So you have an older athlete or even a younger athlete who has undergone, let's say, some traumatic brain injury. The pituitary is not functioning, clearly is getting close to that hypogonadal state, but still wants to play and doesn't want to end up with brain damage because of androgens and estrogens protect the brain. So that the jurisdiction says this is sensible replacement. This is not abuse. So let's treat it differently. My problem is with these organizations that look at everything as abuse except if it's a pharmaceutical drug. If an athlete is taking an antidepressant, if an athlete is taking, or even worse, an athlete goes for radial keratotomy so that they have better than 20/20 vision, or they have a tendon or ligament rerouted so that they can continue to pitch. These are all, I see these as being anomalies to the normal process of body function. Why are they allowing that? But as soon as a guy says, look, I want to replace testosterone. No, that's an anabolic steroid. You can't do it.
Right.
It's really unfair.
Yeah, no, I would generally agree with you.
Getting back to the book at hand, how long has the book been available?
Book's been available for about 5 months or so. So it came out earlier in the year. It was a long process for me. It took me probably about 10 years, literally, to put together. But yeah, it's been out for about 6 months, and so far it seems to be doing pretty well.
Now, you're the director of a certification program, right? Someone wants to become a personal trainer.
Correct, yeah. And ours is a little different in that it's an actual school for people that want to become personal trainers. So most personal training certifications are kind of, you know, you order a book, you do some self-study, you take an exam. But we're a 600-hour program, so it's going to be anywhere from 6 to 12 months. You come in, you sit in class, you have lectures, we actually go to the gym, we work out. It's called the National Personal Training Institute. We have about 35 schools across the country. I run the one in Virginia, next to, right outside of Washington, D.C.
So, wow, you really sit down in a class and learn, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. Yep, yeah, it's 5 hours every day, 4 days a week for 6 months.
And what does that cost?
It costs $6,950, which, given the hour-per-hour ratio, I think it's a pretty good deal. And we provide textbooks, and students can get financial aid at certain locations. So it's a pretty comprehensive program, and then when they're done, assuming they pass, obviously, they're certified, they can go out, be a trainer, you know, work at gyms or do their own independent thing.
What do you really think? So if somebody's looking at this versus one of these online open book type programs, what's the better, why should they go for a program like this and spend the extra money? What will they come away knowing more or doing better?
A bunch of things. I've honestly had a lot of people that already have a certification as a personal trainer through the self-study. And yet they go, I mean, they might even get hired, but then they find 3 months into it, they're really struggling, they just don't feel qualified. There's so many people with injuries or disabilities or some kind of unusual issue that are looking for training, and they just have, you know, the basic slap on the back certificate. And so they end up coming here anyway and saying, oh man, I wish I had done this first. Anatomy is very difficult to learn on your own. We actually spend 100 hours on anatomy. We spend 100 hours on nutrition, so people are certified in nutrition too. That's obviously a huge chunk of the puzzle. Then we spend a lot of time on program design. And then just going to the gym, and actually, and it's not just like go to the gym and work out. You know, it of course has instruction, and you know, we're showing people how do you do the lifts, how do you spot them, how do you progress them, how do you regress them. And so, obviously, if massage therapists and, you know, nail technicians need to go through school, I certainly don't see why a personal training would be any different.
I know, because you can hurt somebody in personal training where you can't necessarily hurt them to that degree doing their nails or cutting their hair. So,
right.
Absolutely right. All right, stay tuned. We'll be right back with more.
Previously on Superhuman Radio.
That's what happened to, what's his name, Rick Perry? He wanted to force everybody to get human papillomavirus vaccine in Texas. And people heard that, and they're like, okay, we're done with you, bro. You need to move on now.
He's pointing out the evildoers within our own government.
These people are crazy, these politicians. They're crazy. Dimwits. You know what we should do? When they say stuff like that, say, okay, no problem. We want to vaccinate everybody in your family first. We want to make you the test case. We'll watch what happens to you guys. If you guys survive, then we'll consider.
Carl Lenore on Superhuman Radio. Weekdays at noon.
Your physique is carved from sweat, reps, and discipline. It's time to show off your hard work with Quest Apparel. Clothes engineered to enhance the contours of your body. The makers of the number one selling Quest Bar created Quest Apparel with your body and philosophy in mind. Every shirt, pant, and dress has an inspirational custom tagline as a reminder to yourself and a subtle message to those around you that you carved your path to be the exception because you are made, not born. Go to questapparel.com and enter code SUPERHUMAN to receive 20% off your purchase today.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing.
That's liveonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
When it comes to TV, we have one simple question. If you can't see the difference, why pay the difference? Switch to Dish for a great deal. Not only will you find the same channels you know and love for less, Dish sweetens the deal with free HD for 24 months and premium movie channels free for 3 months, including Blockbuster at Home. And of course, Dish is home to award-winning technology like Hopper and Dish Anywhere. Why would you ever pay more for TV? Switch to Dish and see what real value is. Free HD for 24 months. Premium channels free for 3 months. And scores of movies with Blockbuster at Home. Get more for less with Dish. Call Digital TV Dish at 800-290-4860 for details. That's 800-290-4860. Call 800-290-4860. Limited time offer. Separate 24-month commitments and termination fees apply. Restrictions include credit qualification and auto pay and paperless billing. DishNet not available in all areas. Call for details.
Get ready for the ultimate lean mass building pro hormone. Fusion Supplements introduces Trinadrol. You'll see dramatic improvements in strength, huge increases in lean muscle mass, a reduction in body fat levels, and zero conversion to estrogen. Shatter those PBs. Trinadrol is the perfect choice on a cut or body recomp as well as bulking. Snag a bottle of Trinadrol at superhumanradio.com. Click the banner ad in the car recommend section and use coupon code TRENADROL 3-0 and get 30% off.
Performance counts, especially in the bedroom. Age Force introduces the Ready Now Sexual Performance Patch. Feel 8 hours of increased performance within minutes of putting on the Ready Now Patch. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Ready Now banner ad and save 50% off your first order.
When you talk about recovery, one product has emerged as the established category killer, Mass Pro Synthogen. Formulated by SHR's own BPPH answer man, Rob Regish. Synthogen works from the very first dose to help you bounce back fast. It fuels, it feeds, and flat out outperforms anything else on the market. Discover the power yourself by clicking the Synthogen link in the Carl Recommends tab on superhumanradio.com. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. We're ripped and we're ready.
Welcome back. Later in the show, Dr. David O. Kennedy will join us all the way from Oxford University in the UK to talk about his new book, Plants and the Human Brain. There's a lot more about plants that are similar to us than unlike us. You're going to really love that interview. Stay tuned for that. Right now, we're talking with Tim Henriquez. We're talking about his book, All About Powerlifting. Whether you're a bodybuilder, powerlifting can benefit you if you're a bodybuilder as well, because getting stronger and then increasing your volume with that newfound strength is what will lead to greater hypertrophy. If we've learned anything from the works of Dr. Brad Schoenfeld, we know that as you increase the weight, time under tension, muscles under tension, and increase the volume, this is when the magic happens. So a lot of times strength comes first before hypertrophy. Have you learned that? Have you found that to be the case too, Tim?
Yeah, I think, if you go back, bodybuilding and powerlifting really didn't used to be that separate. In fact, initially they would often have the very same competition. So you would do about a bodybuilding show and a powerlifting show, you know, within a 1 or 2 day span of each other. And it was the same people, you know, getting in there and doing it. Now it's become a little more specialized, and that would definitely be a rough combo to do, but absolutely, especially as a natural person, somebody who doesn't take steroids, you know, you really need to build some muscle, basically the engines for you to be able to lift, and then vice versa. As you get stronger, you find that building that muscle becomes a lot easier. So I definitely think there's much more alike between the two sports than different.
Well, it's funny you say that, because earlier in the show, I was thinking about when you were talking about, you know, some of the earlier when powerlifting became a faction of its own, was really a result of Joe Weider remodeling what bodybuilding was. When Perry Rader and AAU and York Barbell were at the helm of the bodybuilding world, there were three compulsory lifts. So you couldn't just get on stage and be ripped to shreds and hypermuscular. You were also graded on whether or not those muscles worked. And you were able to do an overhead press, you know, and so on. And so that is really when up until that point is when bodybuilding was considered a sport. But when Joe Weider saw the opportunity to take guys who really didn't care about being strong, but they just wanted their bodies to look a certain way, and he capitalized on that, and he splintered off what became bodybuilding today. And a lot of people are going to argue with this, but bodybuilding is not necessarily a sport, even though they are athletes that are in it. I want to be clear about this. It's more of a pageant. When you're graded on the way your body looks, that's a pageant. When you're graded on how your body performs in sports, athletic events, that's a sport. And so what he did was he said, hey, you know what? The heck with the compulsory lifts. Let the AAU keep that. We're going to do this. And a lot more people liked it better.
Yep. And I think you bring up a really interesting point, which is just more a little bit more esoteric in nature, but what is a sport and what is an athlete? And I do my best to try to answer those questions right in that first chapter. And try to give my definition of an operational definition of what is a sport, what is an athlete, and then you can just kind of apply it to the litmus test. I think Webster's definition is just a little bit lacking. So it definitely makes for an interesting discussion. Is bodybuilding a sport? Is, you know, race car driving a sport? Throwing darts, all those fun things. But I definitely do my best to try to answer that as clear as I can.
Well, and I mean, bodybuilders are athletes. There's no doubt about it. They're strong. They have fantastic conditioning. Nowadays, they're doing high-intensity cardio training, which, you know, they can probably sprint along with the best football players. So they are definitely athletes. And I don't want anybody out there to go, Carl, what did you just say? There is no doubt about it that they are athletes. But when they get up on that stage, you can't tell me they're being graded on athletic performance. They're not. It is athletic performance that gets their bodies to look that way, but they're being graded on aesthetics.
True. They do have to pose, so I might have to just differ with you just a little bit in that there is some skill in posing. If you go to a kind of a novice bodybuilding show, you'll see people that don't really have any idea of what they're doing. And so even if the best bodybuilder in the world just sat there, but if he didn't hit the necessary poses in the right way, he wouldn't necessarily win. So I think like figure, where they do literally just walk out and then just do a turn and go back in, I definitely agree with that. That's more of the pageant style. But I do think bodybuilding is a bit of a gray area. It's an interesting question.
Yeah, it is. And it's been debated before, and it'll be debated forever, I predict, because of that. You know. But yep. Back in the day when the AAU was doing it, it was a sport because after you flexed your muscles and you looked a certain way, then you had to perform compulsory lifts.
Right. That would definitely increase the physical demands. I don't think anybody would agree with that or disagree with that.
Yeah. The book is also available in Kindle now, it looks like.
Yeah, we're on Amazon. I have my own website, which is dedicated to support the book. It's the same name, allaboutpowerlifting.com. So I have a blog. I have all the articles that I reference in the book for kind of an easy find. You can just go and click on the resources page. And I hope to continue to expand that. I do interviews with some of the best lifters in the world in the book, so it isn't just my voice that people are hearing, but they can hear from Kirk Karwoski, one of the first guys to squat 1,000 pounds, or Jennifer Thompson, likely the best female bench presser of all time, who happens to be drug-free as well. And so, but I hope to interview even more athletes and just kind of help both the book and the sport grow as we go from there.
Do you keep in touch with Brandon Lilly?
I'm Facebook friends with him, but I haven't had a huge amount of personal interaction.
I was just curious how he's doing with his recovery after that squat accident.
Yeah, I believe he's actually doing pretty well from some of the training videos and things like that. I've seen that those guys are super hardcore and are super passionate, so I believe that he's coming along well. But he's definitely not a close personal friend, so I don't want to speak.
Okay,
from, you know,
yeah, no, that's cool. So, what do you think about a different group of people starting to pay attention to the types of strength training that you talk about in this book? I have this idea about people who have neuromuscular disorders like Parkinson's disease benefiting from powerlifting because when you look at the disease and its progression, it's the constant erosion of neuromuscular connectivity as a result of damage to an area of the brain known as the substantia nigra. But I have to believe that if you are also training at the same time for strength, that you have new neurons sprouting, new inroads into muscle, and that could somehow compensate for the what you lose. If you look at what you lose on one side, and now you're looking at strength training giving you something you gain on this side, then the net could be that the disease doesn't progress. Any ideas on that?
I would think there's a pretty strong, you know, hypothesis that you've presented to be accurate. I'm definitely not an expert on Parkinson's, but one of my uncles does have it, and I have read a few studies, you know, just kind of to help him out. And actually, just last year they came out with a study which was resistance training definitely seems to slow or delay the effects of Parkinson's, and people can be, you know, more independent and have better motor control. I certainly think at a theoretical level it makes sense. Basically, we're building that coordination, like you talked about, that gets lost through the disease. That would obviously be great if we could find even more uses for resistance training, but it's definitely not just for elite athletes.
See, the reason I raise this is because I want to see someone within the powerlifting community step forth and go, look, let's get in touch with some of the more progressive clinics that are working with Parkinson's disease, like Barrows, which mm-hmm. is my sister passed away recently as a result of Parkinson's disease, so it's been a special interest of mine as well. And
okay.
Let's get in touch with those folks at Barrows and let's set up something and let's see what we could do, because theoretically, if the net is what is lost and what is gained is equal, then the disease doesn't progress. But what if the opposite is affected? What if what is lost is far less than what is gained? If you're training like a powerlifter to get stronger, then you may actually be able to push the disease back into what, for lack of better terms, could be remission, because the new inroads you're making into strength are so much greater that what you're losing to the disease is really negligible.
Yeah, I mean, obviously that would be super exciting. I think it would be interesting to just check out rate of incidence as well. You know, you could compare people with a heavy strength training background. Would it either delay or maybe decrease the likelihood of one getting it versus, again, I'm just kind of hypothesizing.
No, but this is good. This is good. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think your idea is pretty intriguing.
Well, then reach out to somebody, man.
All right. I'm working on it. That'll be book two.
There you go. Let's go ahead and plug the websites again. So there's two websites that you can go to. Give the first one for the personal training in case. And this is in Virginia, right? Your facility.
Yeah. Well, we actually have our school is all across the country. So our broad website is NPTI, which is just our company, NPTIfitness.com. And then my specific school in Virginia is nptivirginia.edu. And we're right out of Washington, D.C., so we get Maryland, D.C., and Virginia people taking that class, and we have classes going year-round. And then the website for my book is the same title as the book, allaboutpowerlifting.com. And there's a ton of stuff on there for you.
Yeah, and then, of course, it's actually up on superhumanradio.com, too, if you want to check the book out. Listen, I want to thank you so much for being on the show today, Tim.
Thank you. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a lot of fun. I appreciate you guys having me.
Cool. Take care. All right. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to take our top of the hour break now, which will include the news for those of you who missed the news earlier. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Dr. David O. Kennedy all the way from Oxford to talk about plants and the human brain. It's going to be a really, really interesting discussion. Stay tuned. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. We'll be right back.
Superhumans using Percova Extra Edge Colostrum Powder are experiencing dramatic improvements in strength, performance, recovery, and endurance. Benefits that cannot be duplicated by any other supplement. Percova Extra Edge Colostrum Powder will take your game to another level. If you already know how great Percova Extra Edge Colostrum is, you could purchase 4 jars of Extra Edge Colostrum Powder for $200. Use coupon code SHR2. See the Percova banner ad on superhumanradio.com today. Power Block dumbbells can replace up to 55 pairs of dumbbells in the space of just one pair, and they come in all sizes to meet the needs of all lifters, as small as 2.5 to 20 pounds per hand, all the way up to 175 pounds per hand, and everything in between. Check out the new Power Block barbells that turn your Power Block dumbbells into barbells in seconds, replacing up to 45 barbells. Or try the new kettlebell handle to convert Power Block dumbbells to kettlebells. Call 800-651-1937 or click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com for a free brochure.
Just because your water is clear doesn't mean it's pure. You can't see the most harmful things in your water. Tap, bottle, it's all the same. Plasticizer, chlorine, fluoride. Today's water is horrible. The clearly filtered water bottle will purify up to 100 gallons of tap, bottle, river, or stream water. And it removes chlorine, fluoride, other harmful chemicals, and bacteria while saving you a load of money. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the clearly filtered banner ad and save 5% plus free shipping inside the USA.
With your Superhuman News Update, I'm Elliot Turton.
keeping filler ingredients out of your cup of coffee. Coffee drinkers, beware. Surprise ingredients that are neither sweet nor flavorful may be hiding in your coffee. And growing coffee shortages may increase the chance of having these fillers in your cup of joe in the future. These extra ingredients make coffee go farther and increase profits for producers, according to researchers from the 248th National Meeting and Exposition of the American Chemical Society. Common filler ingredients include corn, barley, wheat, soybeans, rice, beans, acai seed, brown sugar or starch syrup, and counterfeit coffees is becoming more important in light of growing shortages in regions such as Brazil, where droughts and plant diseases have dramatically cut back coffee supplies. The good news is that a highly accurate test is in the works to quickly find coffee containing unwanted filler before the beverage reaches stores and restaurants. Researchers at the State University of Londrina in Brazil have developed a way to nip coffee counterfeiting in the bud with 95% accuracy. Pregnant women and fetuses exposed to antibacterial compounds face potential health risk. As the Food and Drug Administration mulls over whether to rein in the use of common antibacterial compounds that are causing growing concern among environmental health experts, scientists reporting at the 248th National Meeting and Exposition of the American Chemical Society are concerned that many pregnant women and their fetuses are being exposed to these substances. The problem with this is that there is a growing body of evidence showing that the compounds can lead to developmental and reproductive problems in animals and potentially in humans. Also, some research suggests that the additives could contribute to antibiotic resistance, a growing public health problem. Although the human body is efficient at flushing out triclosan and triclocarbon, a person's exposure to them can potentially be constant. The rest of your Superhuman News is coming up in 1 minute on the Superhuman Radio Network.
Research on how colostrum improves athletic performance, muscle growth, health, and vitality is undeniable. But finding a reliable source of colostrum is difficult. Now the Superhuman Nation has Immunodynamics. For over 30 years, Immunodynamics has been regarded as both the standard and the source for consistently providing only first six-hour colostrum, painstakingly processed by continually refined methods to provide the highest biological activity in the world. For a limited time, when you buy Percoba Extra Edge Colostrum Powder, you'll get a bottle of colostrum lozenges and a Fit and Fresh portable drink mixer free. Use coupon code SHR at checkout. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Immunodynamics banner ad today.
Power Block dumbbells can replace up to 55 pairs of dumbbells in the space of just one pair, and they come in all sizes to meet the needs of all lifters, as small as 2.5 to 20 pounds per hand, all the way up to 175 pounds per hand, and everything in between. Check out the new Power Block barbells that turn your Power Block dumbbells into barbells in seconds, replacing up to 45 barbells. Or try the new kettlebell handle to convert Power Block dumbbells to kettlebells. Call 800-651-1937 or click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com for a free brochure.
With the rest of your Superhuman News, I'm Elliot Turton. New global research reveals significant shortfall in fruit and vegetable consumption. New research published in the September issue of the British Journal of Nutrition highlights a significant shortfall in fruit and vegetable consumption in people's diets around the world. Commissioned by the Nutrilite Health Institute of Amway and conducted by Exponent, the research finds the majority of adults worldwide would have to at least double their current consumption of fruits and vegetables to meet the World Health Organization's minimum recommendation of 5 servings per day. Additionally, the vast majority of adults worldwide, 60 to 87% across 13 geographic diet regions, are falling short of these recommendations and missing out on crucial nutrition and health benefits. The gap between the recommended amounts of fruits and vegetables and what adults are actually eating also indicate that most adults worldwide are not receiving the quantity or variety of phytonutrients, organic compounds found in fruits and vegetables, potentially needed to support their health and wellness. Gut microbes browse along the gene buffet. In the moist, dark microbial rainforest of the intestine, hundreds of species of microorganisms interact with each other and with the cells of the host animal to get the resources they need to survive and thrive. Though there's a lot of competition in this vibrant ecosystem, a new study on the crosstalk between microbes and cells lining the gut of mice show how cooperative this environment can be. One of the main ways that the hosts manage these interactions with microbes is by carefully controlling the genes that their cells use. Duke University researchers, reporting in the journal Genome Research,
found that the host genes in the intestine are poised to respond to microbes, and the microbes signal to the host to determine which genes respond. In other words, access to the genes is determined by the host, but usage of particular genes is regulated by the microbes. This has been your Superhuman News Update. I'm Elliot Turton for the Superhuman Radio Network.
Increase your strength and energy. Build that testosterone. Introducing AndroTest from Fusion Supplements. AndroTest gives you superior conversion to testosterone. This is a research-based product with cyclodextrin technology that maximizes testosterone output. AndroTest is the perfect choice to add as a stack to other pro hormones. Get a bottle of AndroTest. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the banner ad in the Carl Recommends section. Use coupon code AndroTest30.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Move over, superheroes. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Welcome back. You know, every day we consume things because of the way they affect our brain, our mood, our cognition. And quite often these are found in nature, in plants. We wouldn't be able to live without our coffee, would we? My next guest is Dr. David O. Kennedy, and he just published a book called Plants and the Human Brain. Welcome to the show, Dr. Kennedy.
Oh, hi, Carl. Nice to be here.
Yeah, so you are with the Brain Performance and Nutrition Research Center at Northumbria University. And this book, one of the things that I thought was really interesting about this book is that I'd like to talk about right away is the fact that humans and plants are really not that different. I find that hard to understand.
No, that's right. I guess that it all goes back to our common sort of ancestors. So we last shared a common ancestor with plants about 1,100 million years ago. So that's when we sort of evolved from the same unicellular sort of animal. And we share about 3,000 genes with plants. But it means from the point of view of certainly brain function that, I mean, a lot of the chemicals that we think of as neurochemicals are also used as functional chemicals by plants as well, along with a host of other similarities.
Do you think that the reason that these chemicals have an effect on us is because there is some something left behind from when we were within that species?
Yes, well, certainly. I mean, you can break down, I mean, most of the chemicals that we're talking about when we talk about plant chemicals are what you'd call technically secondary metabolites. And the reason they're secondary is because they don't keep the plant alive. They're just there really to help it interact with its environment. And they fall into several different groups. And some of those groups, or at least one of those groups, the reason why they affect the sort of human brain and a lot of human physiological functioning is because of similarities. And the most obvious example, and one that all your listeners will have heard of, are a group of plant chemicals called polyphenols, which we think of as antioxidants. But actually, the evidence is pointing away from the idea that they're antioxidants and actually towards the fact that they directly interact with signal transduction mechanisms within our cells, which are directly conserved from our common ancestor. So the reason that when you take sort of blueberries, blackberries, all of those very supposedly antioxidant sort of fruits and fruit extracts, what they're actually doing is they're actually communicating with our cells by the same pathways that we share with plants.
Now, are these hormetins in essence, because they are actually causing our bodies to respond by upregulating the antioxidants that we think we're getting from them?
No, no, it's actually, they're not. And again, this is another one of those, a bit of a blind alley that some research has gone down, this idea of sort of hormetic, sort of slight stresses and things like that. They certainly upregulate antioxidant status within the cell and within the body. But actually what they're doing is, I mean, all cells communicate, or they receive communications from the outside world, whether that's a cell in your body or a unicellular sort of organism. And they do that by things usually bind either to the outside of the cell on receptors or in the nucleus of the cell. And then in order for that signal to get to the nucleus of the cell to change the gene transcription, it has to pass through a signal transduction pathway, usually things like protein kinases and lipase kinases. And those are the components which polyphenols are actually interacting with. So it means that they're directly binding and interacting with the communication pathways within cells. And that can mean upregulating antioxidant status, but it can also mean downregulating inflammatory responses, changing sort of the ability of the cell to divide, and all sorts of different interactions.
I always think of, from an ancestral or an evolutionary perspective, I always look at this as there are things in plants that we tend to think were put there for our benefit, but they're not. They're put there for the plant's benefit, usually in an effort to get us to help spread the seeds of the plant, or in some cases to keep us from eating the plants, as in anti-nutrients and so on. So these things that benefit us, are they really there to benefit us, or are they there to benefit the plant by getting us to consume that plant?
No, I think one thing that we can be sure of is that to plants, humans are completely inconsequential. So if you actually look at the reason that most of these secondary metabolite chemicals are in the plants, and phenolics are unusual in as much as they're in all plant foods, we eat them all day, they're part of our normal diet. But the rest of the secondary metabolites fall into other groups. I mean, the biggest group is probably the alkaloids. And we're all familiar with the alkaloids because they include caffeine and nicotine, so the two most widely taken psychoactive drugs in the world, but also most of our social drugs, so morphine, cocaine, ephedrine and its various derivatives, methamphetamine and what have you. They're all sort of alkaloids, and alkaloids are insecticides. The reason why they then have an effect on the human brain is because our brain is pretty much the same as an insect's brain, sort of in terms of receptors, in terms of the neurochemicals, even in terms of the effects that those specific chemicals have on our brain. You observe very similar changes in insects, but obviously we're taking very small doses in comparison to a dose which might kill an insect. So it's actually, so you've got two different things. With the phenolics, you've probably got similarities between humans and plants. And in terms of the alkaloids and the other group, which are the terpenes, it's probably more to do with similarity between insects and humans. And the fact that the plant has evolved with insects, if it doesn't survive the onslaught of insects to start with, it's not going to be there to be eaten by anything else.
Right.
So it's a bit of a coincidence, sort of it's a coincidence in our brain morphology compared to an insect, which is driving those interactions.
Now we know about hallucinogenics that are found in things like psilocybin mushrooms and so on. You have in the alkaloid group, you talk about a molecule that has become very, very popular due to a comedian here in the United States named Joe Rogan, who did a documentary on what he called the spirit molecule, which is dimethyltryptamine. First of all, where is dimethyltryptamine found in the plant world, first of all?
The obvious place that it's found is, I forgot the component plants now, but in the South American drink ayahuasca, which includes dimethyltryptamine and also another chemical which actually increases its bioavailability. And that's become quite famous sort of over time. And dimethyltryptamine, though, is very interesting because we actually synthesize that endogenously. So it is one of our trace amine neurotransmitters anyway, and it probably has a role in consciousness in our brain normally. So what we're actually doing there is we're consuming something from nature in higher concentrations than our brain is actually synthesizing itself. But of course, going back to the insects have exactly the same receptors and have exactly the same reaction to dimethyltryptamine as we do in terms of their brain function. But for them, it stops them from eating the plant.
Yeah, it does it, but it does this. We consume more of it. That's pretty funny. Nightshades fall into the alkaloid realm as well, correct?
Yes, indeed, yeah.
But now there are nightshades that are commonplace. I mean, a tomato is considered a nightshade, is it not?
Yes, yeah.
Eggplants?
Yes, actually. Yeah, sorry.
No, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, there's a whole wide variety. I mean, it's a huge family, the Solanacea, the nightshade family. And there's only actually a handful of plants that give us what we call delirium drugs, which include sort of scopolamine, most obviously, and there's a variety of different plants, including some American sort of plants. But most of that group don't synthesize that particular group of alkaloids.
Okay. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to pick it up on the other side. We're talking right now with Dr. David O. Kennedy about his book, Plants and the Human Brain. You can get the book at superhumanradio.com. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Previously on Superhuman Radio with Carl Lenore.
So government mandates the use of this, and government says you should try that, but government doesn't do those things.
Listen weekdays at noon.
1-2 punch for muscle growth is increased pump and increased intensity. Research shows metabolic changes occur that yield bigger, stronger muscles. Harness the power of agmatine plus carnosine beta-alanine to give your workouts the intensity, pump, and metabolic changes that you'll not only feel but be able to see. Go to superhumanradio.com and use the coupon code SHR to get Prime Nutrition's Ultimate Stack and save 30% off. That's a savings of over $12. Get the most out of your next training session with Prime Nutrition's Nitric Oxide Plus Intensity Stack. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right, buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
At Superior Hardcore Peptides, we pride ourselves on accurately dosed, high-quality peptides and research chemicals made in the USA. With all the options out there, we dedicated ourselves to providing the best service and the best products for your research. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com today and use the discount code SHR and get 20% off our already competitive prices. If you're going to do research, do it with the best Superior Hardcore Peptides.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's S-H-R and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Only one testosterone booster, Mahler's Aggressive Strength, raises testicular cholesterol levels while increasing gonadotropin, releasing hormone. That in turn turbocharges how much testosterone you can make. In a clinical trial, this resulted in a 347% increase in testosterone, and it won't bottom out your estrogen levels either, so your libido will be in high gear. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Aggressive Strength banner ad. Use coupon code SHR and get 10% off today.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where brawn and brains finally meet.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with David O. Kennedy about his book, Plants and the Human Brain. You can go to superhumanradio.com to get a copy of this fantastic book. Let's talk about phenolic compounds for a second. Why do phenolic compounds, polyphenols, have such benefits for the human brain?
Well, I think, again, it comes back to that interaction with those cellular signal transduction pathways. So typically the sort of pathways that they interact with have beneficial effects are the ones that really underlie, say, neuroinflammation. And neuroinflammation, as with any inflammation, is a natural protective mechanism of the body. But if it continues for too long, if it goes on for too long, it contributes to all sorts of negative consequences for the brain, including sort of dementia, cognitive decline, and what have you. The same pathways also dictate blood flow to the brain, and a host of other beneficial sort of effects. And it's really that the phenolics are they're tapping into these signal transduction pathways, which is the reason why they have the beneficial effects. The interesting thing with regard to phenolics is that we have a huge, and I mean hundreds and hundreds of million dollars per year, research effort going into looking at the effects of a variety of different phenolics and polyphenols on really the signal transduction pathways that would have an effect on brain function and physiological function, cardiovascular function, what have you. But we don't really have any research effort looking at what they're doing in the plant.
Ah.
So you can identify that when you look at the mechanisms of action that they have in mammalian cells, which lead to these beneficial effects, plants have exactly the same conserved mechanisms. So they're orthologs. They come from this common sort of previous ancestor. But our research is so egocentric. We look at just sort of animals, mammals, sort of humans. We don't really look at what they're doing in the plant. So, one of my conclusions sort of from the book is that we should have a bit of a readjustment in our research and first figure out what they're doing in the plant in these same sort of systems.
What about some of these popular ones? Like, okay, so ginkgo biloba, does that work? Does it really improve cognition in individuals?
Well, certainly, our research with ginkgo, which we started, I think we published our first study looking at ginkgo biloba just in healthy young adults in 2000. We certainly see benefits from single doses of ginkgo biloba, for sure. I mean, over 3 or 4 different studies, we've sort of seen very similar effects in each case. The problem becomes that most of the literature for ginkgo biloba has been conducted in people either with sort of very poor cognitive function as a consequence of age, mm-hmm. or in groups suffering from various different dementias. And the research has tended to be done with a lot of different methodologies, so it's very heterogeneous sort of research. And it's difficult to actually, because of the nature of the research that's been conducted, it's difficult to conclude anything. But, I mean, certainly from our point of view, I mean, we've shown sort of
good sort of effects in at single doses in healthy young people. But, you know, it's difficult to extrapolate that to people later in their life, really.
Does Coco perform well? I know I make a version of what I like to call breakfast chocolate, which is 50% cocoa, 50% organic coconut oil. And I like to eat that in the morning instead of coffee some mornings. And I feel like it does make me more alert. Am I imagining that?
Well, I don't know if you're imagining it, because obviously another thing that cocoa has is caffeine. For start off, so that's in there, theobromine as well. So you've got those in there. But of all of the sources of polyphenols, cocoa is probably the one with the most consistent evidence. And again, that's not necessarily to say the other ones don't work as well. It's just that it's had the lion's share of the research. And what you actually find with cocoa is that, I mean, in terms of cardiovascular function, it's excellent. Got some great meta-analyses of lots of studies showing that it has a host of different cardiovascular benefits. There's a bit of evidence with brain function, but there hasn't really been that much research. But overall, I mean, it's great. So, I mean, my two favorite things, or the two things that I always use my own research to support, are eating chocolate and drinking red wine, because they're both excellent sources of polyphenols.
Well, so, I love red wine. I'm Italian. I started drinking wine when I was a very, very young little boy. My grandfather would make wine, and I would drink it. And I love drinking wine, but I don't believe that this is one of those things where the polyphenols in wine and the alcohol, which we know is a neurotoxin, I feel like there's maybe benefits from the polyphenols, but the alcohol is negating any of those potential benefits. Am I completely wrong about that?
Well, I suppose there's two things. The first thing is, if you're going to drink alcohol, you're best drinking it with as many polyphenols as you can get at the same time. So, red wine is definitely one of the richest sources of polyphenols. But the other thing with alcohol is it's not the research isn't really as clear-cut as it being a neurotoxin. And what you actually find in the literature is that drinking small amounts of alcohol is typically associated with having better cardiovascular health and less dementia than drinking no alcohol at all. And, of course, that's one of those epidemiological things where you can't really pinpoint whether it's the alcohol or other factors which cause that. But it's not a sort of a binary alcohol bad, no alcohol sort of good relationship. It's to do with the amount. I do like a bit of alcohol. I like a glass of wine with sort of dinner or what have you. And I think if you're going to drink it with the polyphenols in it rather than with no polyphenols in it.
How about blueberries? Are they living up to their hype as far as being very important for brain function?
Not as yet. And again, it's really down to right the way across this entire area. I suppose the cocoa flavanols, so the polyphenols from cocoa, have received the most research attention. And they've been shown to be very good for cardiovascular function. Blueberries have some really interesting properties. And, of course, the color is provided by polyphenols. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's all the polyphenols sort of in the skin and what have you. But the research with regards human brain function really hasn't been, there's not been much conducted, and it's not been of particularly good quality. So in, say, rats, you could pretty much say, yes, they have beneficial effects. They protect against all sorts of, brain insults, all sorts of brain injuries and dementia models and things like that. But in humans, there really hasn't been the research conducted. But it's common across this area. We're generally working in a bit of an absence of good research.
Yeah, and the other problem is that a lot of times this information gets pandered to by supplement companies who make these agents sound like they can do much more than they really can. And that's that's the other issue of this. What I want to do is I want to take a quick commercial break, and we'll pick it up on the other side. The book is called Plants in the Human Brain by Dr. David O. Kennedy. You can get it at superhumanradio.com. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Your destination for the latest in health information. Superhuman Radio with Carl Lenore.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your question. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead.
Your physique is carved from sweat, reps, and discipline. It's time to show off your hard work with Quest Apparel. Clothes engineered to enhance the contours of your body. The makers of the number one selling Quest Bar created Quest Apparel with your body and philosophy in mind. Every shirt, pant, and dress has an inspirational custom tagline as a reminder to yourself and a subtle message to those around you that you carved your path to be the exception because you are made, not born. Go to questapparel.com and enter code SUPERHUMAN to receive 20% off your purchase today.
The benefits of a ketogenic diet are immeasurable. Health, resist disease, mental function, and even performance. But getting into ketosis can take weeks, if even at all. Now you can get into ketosis in 10 minutes. Keto Force is the first ketone salt that has been clinically shown to switch you into a ketogenic state by providing a rush of ketones into the bloodstream. Like to train fasted or want to spare more muscle glycogen during workouts? Take a shot of Keto Force and hit it hard. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Keto Force banner ad today.
In a world of advanced bodybuilding supplementation, the numbers don't lie. Fact, Iron Mag Labs is among the fastest growing hardcore supplement companies in the world. Fact, when it comes to no-nonsense, cutting-edge products, nobody delivers results like Iron Mag Labs. Fact, the Iron Mag Labs line of innovative formulation has set a new industry standard with products that are helping world-class bodybuilders reach levels they never thought possible. Iron Mag Labs is a proud supporter of bodybuilders everywhere. Discover the most hardcore bodybuilding supplements on the market. Visit IronMagLabs.com today.
You've already heard the hundreds of testimonials about how well the Age Force Fat Burner Patch works. Now it's even better. Age Force has added the powerful appetite suppressor, Hoodia. So now, while your body's in high gear burning fat, you'll have an easier time sticking to your diet. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Age Force banner ad today to get a buy one, get one free for a limited time. What do you have to lose other than body fat?
The benefits of a ketogenic diet are immeasurable. Health, resist disease, mental function, and even performance. But getting into ketosis can take weeks, if even at all. Now you can get into ketosis in 10 minutes. Keto Force is the first ketone salt that has been clinically shown to switch you into a ketogenic state by providing a rush of ketones into the bloodstream. Like to train fasted or want to spare more muscle glycogen during workouts? Take a shot of Keto Force and hit it hard. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Keto Force banner ad today.
This is the Superhuman Channel. Evolution just got kicked up a notch.
Welcome back. Dr. Kennedy, let's talk about the terpenes for a second, because this is another group found in plants. What are they?
Well, the terpenes are, I guess they're the third big group of secondary metabolites. You've got the alkaloids, you've got the phenolics and the terpenes. They're all slightly different. The alkaloids are just out-and-out poisons, really. The phenolics are just a natural part of our diet. And the terpenes we would usually probably encounter in the form of things like culinary herbs, so things like sage, basil and what have you. But they also give us cannabinoids, so cannabis, or the psychoactive properties of cannabis, salvinorin, which comes from Salvia divinorum, which is again another popular natural high. You can find it sort of growing, particularly in the on your own continent. You can find it growing around the place. And again, they're just a different type of structure. They've evolved slightly differently, but they give us things like ginseng, ginkgo biloba, and a host of triterpenes, which can have very interesting effects, including anabolic effects.
One that comes to mind is ursolic acid, which became very, very popular within the bodybuilding community. We talked about it on this show several times now, which is supposed to be found in the peel or the skin of apples. Is that correct? That's a terpene, right?
That is a terpene, yes. Yeah, and that's a triterpene. And all of the triterpenes, so you've got ginsenosides, ginseng, with enolides, with Withania somnifera, from Bacopa, Munieri, another sort of plant, and things like ursolic acid and what have you. They're all very similar in structure to human steroids. So our steroids are also triterpenes as well. But just returning to that theme of the insects, the plants aren't trying to interact with our hormonal systems. What they're probably trying to do is to disturb the ectosteroid system of insects, which stops them from progressing from being sort of a pupa through the various sort of stages of insect life to being an adult. So the functionality of them is probably because they're intended to disturb the hormonal function of insects. But when we take them, they actually bind to glucocorticoid receptors or estrogen receptors, and they can have sort of anabolic sort of effects, a wide variety of hormonal sort of type effects in humans. And again, it's just due to the similarity in insect and human hormonal systems.
Well, and it's funny you say that because back in 2006, we talked about ectosterone because the Russians were experimenting with ectosterone and saying that it was anabolic. We know that it, as you point out, it's the predominant agent or molecule that causes bugs to undergo a metamorphosis of sorts.
Yeah.
So are you saying that ectosterone can, in fact, have an anabolic effect in humans?
Yes. I mean, it certainly hits the right, or it hits the mechanisms that should have an anabolic sort of effect in humans. I mean, it's not my area of expertise.
Right.
But certainly the recent research would suggest that it can have those effects. So, for instance, I mean, I suppose spinach is pretty much full of it. Unfortunately, Popeye, with his sort of spinach-eating, muscle-building, I think the originators of Popeye actually thought that it was vitamin A, but its anabolic sort of effects are probably related to ectosteroids sort of in the plant.
Wow, that's amazing. So people don't have to go out of their way to buy, you know, exotic supplements. They just need to increase their spinach intake.
Absolutely, yes, yeah. Well, with a lot of these things, I mean, yes, I mean, these can be very potent chemicals in terms of brain function and physiological function. You only have to look at the social drugs, the cannabinoids and all those alkaloids, morphine and sort of cocaine and things, and you can see how very potent they can be. So, yes, I mean, you probably find them quite readily in nature without having to you can probably forget about synthesized sort of products in a lot of cases.
What do you think is the most exciting of all of these classes of naturally occurring agents in plants right now that you see on the horizon?
Well, I've got to say my favorites are the culinary herbs. So these are, if you pick up, say, some sage or some mint and you rub the leaves, you'll find that it goes sort of sticky. And what you're actually doing is on the underside of the leaf, there are these little pouches, almost like little bladders, and the stickiness as you're breaking them open, and they're full of monoterpenes, which are very simple terpenes, which again, they have a number of different, they're both insecticidal, so when an insect lands on a leaf and breaks those open, it typically will damage the insect, either make it go away or even kill it. But they're also exactly the same things which are, which make up the vast majority of the chemicals in floral scents. And they're a fascinating group of chemicals. They're safe for humans to take. And we've done a lot of research looking at sage, so as in sage and onion, just the culinary herb, looking at essential oils and dried leaf and what have you. It's a very potent cholinesterase inhibitor. And across maybe half a dozen different studies, we've shown that it has effects in terms of human performance, so cognitive function and what have you. that's entirely commensurate with cholinesterase inhibition. So that's an upregulation of the acetylcholine neurotransmitter systems in the brain. And the really interesting thing about, obviously, cholinesterase inhibitors are that most of our treatments for dementia, which is an increasing problem, are alkaloid cholinesterase inhibitors, so they're poisonous, whereas this is potentially a natural replacement. So it has the same properties. It improves cognitive function in healthy young people and older people, and it has no real sort of side effects. But unfortunately, as with a lot of these things, I don't think the drug companies are that interested because they can't patent it.
So right.
There isn't the financial incentive for them to pour lots of money into researching it. But all of those culinary herbs, so sage, the Lamiaceae, as they're called, that particular branch of sort of plants give us most of our culinary herbs. The monoterpenes are the things which give them their scents and their flavors. And it's those monoterpenes which actually might be very good for us in terms of supplementing our diet with things.
Are those monoterpenes affected, hurt, or positive, negative when these are dried herbs versus freshly picked herbs?
Well, actually, I mean, we have our sage studies. We've looked at essential oils where we've had the essential oils distilled out of sage leaves. We've given people just dried leaves crushed up and put into capsules, and we've used ethanolic sort of extracts from leaves, and we found pretty much the same thing with all of them. So it's definitely, I mean, our most recent study looking at sage, we just used the monoterpenes, because obviously sage, as well as the monoterpenes, has got an awful lot of other chemical constituents. But when we did a study where we just used the monoterpenes in capsules, we found, again, exactly the same thing. So we're pretty sure that it's the monoterpenes, but you seem to be able to get them from any source of sage. And I'm guessing, personally, the nearer to nature that you take it, probably the better. But, I mean, we don't have any direct evidence with regard to that as yet.
This is exciting. Something like sage or mint could actually improve mental function. That's really exciting.
Well, mint has been almost untouched. Nobody's really looked at mint, not even in animal models, but it's full of monoterpenes. And menthol itself, which is obviously its major distinguishing monoterpene, although you do find menthol in a lot of other sort of herbs as well in smaller concentrations, also binds to kappa opioid receptors. So that's one of the same receptors that morphine binds to. And that, again, I mean, that's an exciting possibilities for modulating gastrointestinal function, because there's a lot of kappa opioid receptors in the intestines, for instance. A really, really interesting thing. But we haven't looked at it as yet. We've been sort of looking at sage and something called Melissa officinalis, or lemon balm.
Yeah.
And found some really exciting, you know, really nice results, but consistent. And I think when you look across scientific literatures, what you're looking for is consistency from study to study. And there aren't that many natural products that have benefited from enough research to really say that. So sage, but menthol, I'd love to do some more work on mint and menthol.
Let's do this. Let's take a break. I have another question that you just sparked in my mind. We're talking with Dr. David O. Kennedy about his book, Plants and the Human Brain. That little bit of information was worth the entire interview. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
He's exposing the man behind the curtain in the organic discussion.
Whole Foods is getting prepared for this onslaught of new customers by finding ways to fool them into buying things that aren't organic, thinking that they are, which is the way they led into the industry. Back in the day when people remember Whole Foods, there were people that going in there and going, oh, well, this is all organic. I bought it at Whole Foods. And, oh, no. They do sell conventional stuff there. They do? Yeah.
Exposing the myths in our grocery stores.
And then Whole Foods started labeling it more clearly what was organic and what was conventional. But there was a whole period of time where people were buying what they thought was organic when it wasn't. And they were charging more. Whole Foods prices was a conventionally grown produce, similar price to what other stores were selling organic, and that made it even more confusing for the consumer. They thought, well, how can it be? I just paid $3.45 for a pound of apples. That's what that store sells organic. You're telling me I bought conventional apples? Yep, you did.
Carl Lenore on Superhuman Radio.
At Superior Hardcore Peptides, we pride ourselves on accurately dosed, high-quality peptides and research chemicals made in the USA. With all the options out there, we dedicated ourselves to providing the best service and the best products for your research. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com today and use the discount code SHR and get 20% off our already competitive prices. If you're going to do research, do it with the best Superior Hardcore Peptides.
When it comes to TV, we have one simple question. If you can't see the difference, why pay the difference? Switch to Dish for a great deal. Not only will you find the same channels you know and love for less, Dish sweetens the deal with free HD for 24 months and premium movie channels free for 3 months, including Blockbuster at Home. And of course, Dish is home to award-winning technology like Hopper and Dish Anywhere. Why would you ever pay more for TV? Switch to Dish and see what real value is. Free HD for 24 months. Premium channels free for 3 months. And scores of movies with Blockbuster at Home. Get more for less with Dish. Call Digital TV Dish at 800-290-4860 for details. That's 800-290-4860. Call 800-290-4860. Limited time offer. Separate 24-month commitments and termination fees apply. Restrictions include credit qualification and auto pay and paperless billing. DishNet not available in all areas. Call for details.
Your physique is carved from sweat, reps, and discipline. It's time to show off your hard work with Quest Apparel. Clothes engineered to enhance the contours of your body. The makers of the number one selling Quest Bar created Quest Apparel with your body and philosophy in mind. Every shirt, pant, and dress has an inspirational custom tagline as a reminder to yourself and a subtle message to those around you that you carve your path to be the exception because you are made, not born. Go to questapparel.com. Enter code SUPERHUMAN to receive 20% off your purchase today.
Whey Isolate is the fastest way to build muscle by flooding the bloodstream with bodybuilding amino acids. Now, Divine Nutrition gives you the best flavors in the world of the best whey isolate available. Divine Nutrition's Whey Isolate comes in pumpkin spice, vanilla peanut butter, or cinnamon bun. You can save 30% off a 2.5-pound jug by using the coupon code SHR. Go to superhumanradio.com and look for Divine Nutrition in Carl Recommends today.
The health and performance benefits of phytonutrients are indisputable. But getting all of your phytonutrients from your diet is difficult. That's why Prime Nutrition introduced PhytoForm. PhytoForm has nearly 11 grams of all the micronized veggies, fruits, fiber, minerals, and antioxidants you need. Alfalfa, organic spirulina, and chlorella, plus acai, pomegranate, goji, bilberry, blueberry, raspberry, cranberry, and papaya. Cabbage, spinach, broccoli, beet, the list goes on and on. You won't find a better, more complete fruits and greens blend anywhere. It even includes PQQ, which has been shown to improve mitochondrial biogenesis. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Prime Nutrition banner ad today and use coupon code SHR to save 30% off. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You, too, can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where brawn and brains finally meet.
Welcome back. Talking with Dr. David O. Kennedy about his book Plants and the Human Brain. Dr. Kennedy, let's talk about sage just for a second. You mentioned capsules.
Yeah.
Is there a therapeutic dose and is there a standardization that has to occur in order to know that you're getting enough of these monoterpenes in the sage that you're taking?
Now, that is it's a very good question. And one of the problems with most of these most plant extracts is standardization. So it's actually, if you were to go into a shop and buy sage, even take it off a bush, you're not really going to know how much of the monoterpenes or the other psychoactive or potentially active components you're consuming. So the good news is it doesn't really have negative side effects. You can eat as much sage as you want, really. I mean, it might make you sort of burp, but that's about it. But you might not be getting the correct dose. And in our research, it's not a case of the highest possible amount
It's really sort of you tend to find a U-shaped response where as the dose goes up, you get improved performance, but as it keeps going up, it tails back off again and goes back towards normal. So you're not really going to damage yourself by taking Sage, but you're probably not going to know how much of the active components you've taken.
Yeah, and that's the real issue, trying to find the sweet spot, so to speak.
Exactly.
I want to change it up just for a second. I know this probably doesn't fall into the realm of plants, but there's a lot of research into the area of ketones and the effect of ketones on brain function and cognition. Is your group looking at any of that sort of stuff?
No, we haven't touched on that as yet.
Okay.
But I'll be interested to hear about it.
Well, I mean, there is some evidence that people who suffer from dementia seem to do better or fare better when ketones are the primary source of mental energy, if you will, than glucose. And I didn't know if there was any research out there about ketones that you have been looking at as well.
Not that I'm familiar with. No, I haven't looked into that. We do cover an awful lot of area. We do obviously the plant, our own research. We look at plant chemicals, and we also look at a host of other things, a lot of work on vitamins and minerals and across a variety of different things, including sort of the effects of glucose, but typically sort of in younger people, but glucose regulation, exercise and what have you.
Are there any vitamins that lend themselves to improved brain function?
Well, theoretically, they all do. They're pretty much all inextricably linked to brain function in one way or another. And again, interestingly, I certainly didn't know this before I started looking at vitamins, but most vitamins are synthesized by plants. And when we eat them, they have pretty much the same cellular effects in us as they have in plants. And the reason why they're vitamins to us is that what's happened in sort of our evolution is we've stopped synthesizing them. And the reason we stopped synthesizing them is because we can get them out of our diet.
Huh.
And, of course, one problem these days becomes that our diet has changed so much from our evolutionary diet that we tend to exhibit a lot of vitamin deficiencies. And the key point is that certainly if you look at the data from the UK, and I think it's probably pretty much the same throughout the developed world, is that you find there is a small but significant minority of the population which is deficient in each of the 13 vitamins. And when you add up all those various different little bits, you'll find a big segment of the population is deficient in one or more vitamins. So all of our work has really looked at multivitamins, and I suppose the theoretical approach is that a lot of research has looked at sort of one or two vitamins, usually B vitamins, B6, 9, and 12. That's taken up the lion's share of research. They've shown very little in the way of beneficial effects. But it's possibly because giving people just one vitamin, you've got to hit on the people that are deficient in that vitamin to start with. And they've also not got to be deficient in any other vitamins, because what tends to happen with the effects of vitamins is that if you're deficient in one and sort of fill up that deficiency, it just shifts the problem up to the next deficiency.
Yeah.
But what we have found is with multivitamins given to normal people, so they're not picked on the basis of having poor nutrition, they're just sort of normal, typically middle-aged, most of the people that we've sort of studied, we find significant improvements in cognitive function. And to me, that says that if you can give people multivitamins for as little as 4 weeks in one case, 9 weeks in another, if you can give them vitamins and improve their brain function, then they certainly didn't have optimal nutritional status to start with. So very interesting area. But, I mean, I've obviously reviewed, in terms of academic sort of papers, the effects of or the benefits seen in vitamin research, and very, very little evidence for these single vitamin or two vitamin, three vitamin studies, which have taken up, taking up pretty much all of the research efforts in this area.
Right.
And reasonably good evidence with regards to multivitamins. So unless you happen to know what your own deficiencies are or insufficiencies or which vitamins you have less than an optimal amount of, I think multivitamins are the way to go.
Yeah, I agree.
Of course. But, of course, the best way is to have just a healthy diet, lots of fruit and vegetables, a bit of fish, or, you know. That's always the best way to get your vitamins, but who does? You know, I know all the research, but I still have a poor diet, so, or in some respects.
No, I know, we're all in the same boat. We all know what the right thing to do is, but it's hard to do the right thing consistently. It's a great book, Plants and the Human Brain. You can get it at superhumanradio.com if you want to learn the pharmacological effects of some of the foods that you eat. It's a great way to learn. Dr. Kennedy, thanks so much for being on the show today.
Been a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Take care. So there you have it. Great show today. Thanks to Dr. David O. Kennedy, Plants and the Human Brain. Also want to thank my first guest, Tim, isn't that terrible? My short-term memory is gone. Tim Henriquez for his book, All About Powerlifting. You can get both of these books at superhumanradio.com. We have great week planned the rest of the week. Tomorrow, obviously, we have the Blueprint Power Hour during the first hour of the show. But then during the second hour, we're going to be interviewing Tony Gentlecore about lifting heavy things. Then on Wednesday, the first hour is going to be about high-performance training for sports. We also have, after the Trans Evolutionary Fitness Radio Show on Thursday, incorporation of therapeutically modified bacteria into the gut microbiota inhibits obesity. That's going to be a really, really interesting discussion. So we have lots of great shows planned for the rest of the week. You're not going to want to miss them. Thanks for listening today, and we will see you tomorrow.
Get ready.